Okay, this week's Sedra, Parshas Kisavo, starts off with the mitzvah of Bikurim, the first fruits that one must bring to the Beis HaMikdash. The Midrash says in the following, it says Bereshis, right? Bereshis bara, first the words in the Torah. And that, the Midrash says, Bereshis bara bishvil bikurim shenikru reshis, nivra ha'olam. Says that the world was created for this mitzvah of bikurim, for bringing the first fruits. So the obvious question is, the world was created for bikurim, what's so special about the mitzvahs bikurim, bringing one's first fruit, that the whole world was created because of this mitzvah? So the Darkei Musar of Naiman Zatzal, he says that there's two types of main beliefs in this world. His one belief is the general belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He said that you don't have to be the biggest chacham in the world. It's not so hard to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. If you just look into it a little bit and be open-minded, you see that it's clear. It has to be a creator. Once, I don't know if you've heard of, I'm sure many of you have, Rav Amnon Yitzchak.
Right? Hero guy.
So, right. So he used to, once he was at one of his performances, whatever, and he was trying to convince this person that that there's a creator. So he says, I don't believe it, that God created the world, is a creator. So he said, give him an example, right? He says, tell me something. What do you think the chances are? He says, if I'm standing over here, and I have a thing of a container of ink, right? And I throw it against this easel opposite me. What's the chance that a perfect, perfect letter, Aleph, will appear perfect, not like a smudge, but a clear printed box Aleph will appear right there on the canvas? He says, how many times do you think I'd have to do that? But chances are for that to happen? A million times, whatever, 2 million times. So I said, okay, let's say 2 million times. He says, okay. So then, what are the chances are that if I take this another thing of ink and I throw it against the easel, the same easel, what chances would it take for next to that Aleph to be a perfect mem? Right? So he says, obviously, right. So what that means that it's not just same amount of times. Why? Because you have the danger of erasing the Aleph by throwing it on, and then you have to start all over again. So what's the chance that the Aleph, 2 billion times, whatever. So he said, and what's the chance that next to that I throw it and a perfect nun would come up next to that without erasing the Aleph and the mem? And then, what's your chances if I throw it again, and there would be a Vav to appear next to that? And then, what's your chances are that next to that Vav, if I throw again, that a Nun Sofit should appear at the end? Right? Aleph, Mem, Nun, Vav, Nun Sofit. So I said, wow, this is impossible. It's nonsense. This can't be. So then he says, look, an Amnon like that, if you would see it on easel, can't happen by accident. But an Amnon like this, pointing to himself, could happen by accident? This can't be.
Big Bang.
The Big Bang. So now there's a Maisa once. Once there was a Rav, and he was in Yerushalayim, and he was walking by this store, and something interested him in the window, whatever. So he walks into the store, and as it happens, there is no nobody in the store. The owner walked out for a minute, whatever. So he looks around and there's nobody there. Okay, so he's browsing around. In the meantime, this non-religious person walks in. And he walks in and he also looks around, like this look on his face. He says, Eifel Balabait? Where's the owner? Where's Eifel Balabait? So the Rav turns to him and he says, there isn't. So he says, there isn't? What do you mean there isn't? Where's the owner? Where's the Balabait? So he says, no, there's no Balabait. What do you mean it's still a Balabai? It has to be a Balabai. He says, no, this store doesn't have a Balabai. He says, what are you talking about? So he says, no. He says, how did the store get here? There's no Balabai. It has to be a Balabai. He says, no. Yeah, he says, I'll tell you exactly what happened. He says there was up north by Haifa, by the ports there, there was a while ago, there was a big explosion, and there were these molecules in the air floating around. This big wind came and blew the molecules right over here to Yerushalayim, and boom, right here, fell this store. So this store has no malamite. Guy looks at him and says, I think you definitely need a psychiatrist. So he says, listen, he says, I'm saying that just one store is an accident and I already need a psychiatrist, right? And you said the whole world is an accident and you're normal? Anyways, so once again, that's that the world was created by a God. He says that's not so hard. However, still, there's another type of emunah, right? And what is that? The emunah that not only does God create the world, but that every single thing that happens in the world is also from God. In other words, God runs the world as well. That every breath we take, we can't take a breath without God. We can't move our hands. We can't think. We can't do. There's nothing that happens in this world, not an individual basis, not on a cloud basis. Nothing happens without a Kadosh Baruch Hu there, helping along, making it happen. So that already, that type of emunah, people are not so quick. Okay, that God created the world, fine. But that, I'm not doing this. I'm not speaking right now. It's not me. It's God. It's God. I can't do this without God. That type of emunah is not everybody has. And what's the Stipler speaks about this. What's the cause of this? That people miss this emunah, lacking. And what's this obstacle with this type of emunah? He says one thing. The only one thing is that interferes with the emunah of Hashem, belief of Hashem, running the world. He says is gaiva, right? Which is understandable. In other words, a person's gaiva. God, it's me, right? I'm doing this, not God. So that's the gaiva. He says, I'll quote to you from the Chai Olam. He says, "Kol asfekas v'bilbulim." He says, "V'mine emuna." All types of questions that people have. Oh, I'm not sure if there's a God. If there's whatever questions in emuna. Einam nimtzein ela b'leiv abal gaiva. Says it's only found in a person who is a balgaiv, again, to one degree or another. He says, Avamisha Zochela Nava Miti, somebody who is really, really sincerely humble, Vilakshovat Smoke Davar Shaino Klum, and he thinks himself as a nothing, take up Umiyad immediately, upon him really feeling that way, Mistakli Mimenu Kolas Fakas. Any suffering he has, we'll leave him. He won't have any suffering anymore, he'll believe in God, believe in everything, everything will be fine. All the questions and thought, wait a minute, I don't know if it's true, is this true, the God, this, that, all those will just totally be mavatal mavutal, just like that, ne'elamim ve'enam, totally disappear. V'zeh says, baduka menusa, this is tried and tested, v'ber gamur, 100%. 100% clear that's the way it is. In other words, it's all a matter of gaiva. It's a nice voice from Rav Shlomo Levenstein, Shlita. He says that in Bereishis, famous says, Pasuk says, Nase Adam. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, let us make man. So famous Rashi, he says, even though it's in plural, let us make man, right? And it wasn't us, it was God. Okay, so even though Rashi says that nobody helped him, and he said, v'yesh makom l'minim, so then a person might say, hey, you know, there's more than one God, chas v'shalom. Still, Hashem wrote it anyways, to teach you derech eretz u'midas anava, Rashi says. To teach you derech eretz and humility, sheyehei hagadol nimlach v'notel reshus mina katan. That a great person should anyways ask permission and from someone who is lesser than him. And therefore, Hashem asked the angels, even though he didn't need to ask the angels, he's God. But he wants to show us, let us make man, right? Even the gods, no one greater, still ask the angels. He didn't need to, but that's derech eretz, right? And humility. You don't think, okay, I know everything, I'm going to do everything myself. You still should act humbly, ask somebody, person that's even lower than you. That's what God is teaching us. So the question is, they ask, I mean, there's no other place that God could teach this here in a place where it sounds, not, you know, gives a place for a person to make a mistake and think that there's, chas v'shalom, you know, more than one God, Nase Adam. Let him teach you humility and derech eretz somewhere else. Why dafka here when it can cause the person to think that there's more than one God? So according to what we said, it's not a kasha. As we said, what is this limud teaching us? It's teaching us derech eretz and humility. And we said, where there's humility, so there's no questions in emunah. And Mela, you can teach over here the whole derech eretz, not a problem. Why? Since part of the limud is anava, being humble, so you don't have to worry about saying nasi adam. Nasi adam, oh, there's more than one God, I don't believe in God. Not a problem. Since you're after years, you're teaching humility, and we said if you're humble, you have no questions on emunah. So Mela, there's no danger that a person's gonna come to lack of belief. We see by the gdolim, as great as they are, so great their humility is great as well. Right? The story is said of the stipler that once he turned to Rav Yosef Greinemann and he says, turned to me, he says, you know, I must have, stipler said, he says, I must have the biggest sukkah in the whole Shikun Chazanish here in Bnei Brak. He says, I must have the biggest sukkah here. So he looked at him and he knew he didn't have the biggest sukkah. So he says, why do you think you have the biggest sukkah? So he says, well, I must have. He says, why? He says, well, because I don't know, because a sukkah comes and everybody comes to my sukkah. So obviously, they need a big place to go. They obviously come to my sukkah. And he wouldn't think that maybe they're coming because he's a stifler. No, in his eyes, like, who am I? I'm a nobody. They're coming to my sukkah because I must have a big sukkah. The story of the Nesivus, Rav Yaakov Milisa, right, that once in his shul, Rabbi Akiva Eger was visiting, and the Gabbai gave Shlishi, it was Shabbos Mincha, and he gave Shlishi to Rabbi Akiva Eger. I'll give him honor, Rabbi Akiva Eger. So in his humility, he was like, me, Shlishi? And he fainted. He fainted right there on the spot. He says, how could they give me Shlishi? Who am I to get Shlishi, the Rav here of, you know, the Rav Yaakov Milisa and Sivas, you know, what right to, I get Shlishi? He fainted. So they kept, you know, trying to wake him up. Every time he woke up, he fainted again. He couldn't handle it. How can he get Shlishi? Who is he to get Shlishi? So then, finally, Rabbi Yaakov had an idea, and he whispered in his ear, and he says, listen, they didn't give you Shlishi, right, because you are greater than me. No, you're not greater than me. I'm greater than you. But since you're a Rav of a big Kehila, so they gave you Shlishi. And then he woke up. He says, oh, okay. I thought in the game because I was sorry. You know? That's a Riki Veger. Anyways, so the mitzvah of Bikurim says the Darkei Musar. He says that's the lesson is there to teach us, that's why the world was created for this, is to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is controlling everything. How so? That here we are, we plant and we plow and pick and harvest, do everything. And we have finally our first fruits, right? So what's the person's natural feeling? Like, look what I did. Look, the sinus fruit, what I did after all my hard work of watering and planting and so, look at it. Look what I produced. Me. So Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to eliminate that. He says, no, right? You have to get rid of that. It's not you, it's me. So therefore, you have to take these fruit and bring them to the base of Migdash and give them to the Kohen. And what's the Lashon? It says in the Pasuk, and you have to say, V'yata, now, hine evetius reishis priyadama, here I am bringing the first of my fruit, asher natata li, that you, Hashem, gave to me. You have to say those words. You, Hashem, it's not me. You gave me this. We said, this is the world's created for that. We said, because unless you have this emunah and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which comes, we said, through humility, and you have all types of questions, not going to believe in God, and not believing God runs the world, and nothing's worth anything. So one last nekuda, and that is, nowadays we don't have mitzvahs bikurim, right? So how do we come to anava, to humility, okay? And without this mitzvah. So one idea is, also heard from Levinstein, he says that the pasuk says, we say in the Torah, he says, "V'ifshita ta'ola, v'nitachota lintzachecha." So it means literally, you strip, you take the hides off the animal, the ola, the korban ola, and then you cut it into pieces. But you, Pidrash says you can read it like this: "V'ifshita ta'ola." In order to strip ola, lashon high, being great, gaiva, what do you have to do? You have to cut it into pieces. What does that mean? It means that a person, you ask him, are you, how, what do you, how, let's make your, well, if you make a chesed with a nefesh, right, you look into your actions, how you're doing. So what does a person, how does a person think? Says, look, I'm basically okay. Basically. I keep kosher, I keep Shabbos, I daven 3 times a day, I put on tefillin, right? I do all of that. So, right, basically, I'm a good Jew, I'm a good person, I do what Hashem says, and right? So it's true, right? Because that's if you look at it globally. So, but you want to make a true, sincere cheshbon and nefesh, you got to cut it into pieces. Says, you daven, let's say, for example. You daven? Yeah, I daven 3 times a day. Okay. How do you daven? Do you daven with kavanah? Do you understand every single word that you're saying? Do you say it with meaning? Do you relate to the words that you're saying? Right? Do maybe some foreign thoughts ever empty your mind during davening? In other words, all of a sudden, when you thought like, I'm a good Jew, I daven, yes, generally, globally, yeah. But if you take any mitzvah and start ripping it apart, the details, and see if you do every single thing, then you see that we're far from perfect, and therefore far from it's not shayach for us to be balegaiva looking at that, and we're forced to be humble. There's a story, end with this, and Maisa, that he relates with Moshe Zichmir. Whoever heard of Moshe Zichmir? Right there. It's like Plony. Okay, so there was once a guy, Moshe Zichmir, and he goes to the Rebbe. Goes into the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I have a big problem. He says, what's the problem? He says, Rebbe, I'm a Bali Gaiva. I'm a Bali Gaiva, what can I do? I can't get rid of it. I have so much Gaiva, I'm so haughty, but I just can't get rid of it. Rebbe, what do I do? So the Rebbe says, I'm not sure, let me think about it. You go wait outside there by the bima, and I'll think about it. I'll call you back. It's okay, fine. Moshe goes to the bima. And the next person walks into the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I have a problem. He says, what? He says, income tax. The income tax authority are on my back. I don't know, I'm going to be in trouble. Rebbe, I need your help. So he says, oh, you have a problem with your income tax? I have the perfect person for you. Says, go to the bima there. There's a guy named Moshe Zichmir. Okay, I'll take care of you. So, Rebbe, thank you so much. So he leaves, goes to the bima. He says, are you Moshe Zichmir? He says, yeah. He says, oh, great. You know, I have the problem with the income tax department. You see, they have this. And he starts telling him his whole problem. So he says, income tax? He says, I don't know, income tax. First thing about income tax. What are you asking me? He says, what? He says, the Rebbe told me I should go to... He says, Rebbe told you? He says, can't be. He says, let's go to the Rebbe. They go into the Rebbe. And he says, Rebbe, did you tell him to go to me and ask about his income tax problems? Rebbe says, yeah, of course, you know. He's, he says, I don't know what income tax, I don't even know how to add what 2 and 2 is. You added the income tax, what? So he says, okay, mistake, I'm sorry, okay, you can go back to the bima now. A few minutes later, another guy comes into Rebbe, says, Rebbe, I got a problem. I have to marry off my daughter, and I have this huge mortgage on my house, and then I owe so much money, I'm in the crazy debt. Rebbe, help me, I need money, what can I do? Well, you need money? I got the address for you, Moshe Zichmir, he's at the bima. Oh, great, thank you, Rebbe. He goes to Moshe Zichmir. Hi, Moshe, I heard you're maybe a loan, give me a loan, I need it. He goes, oh, what loan? I can't even afford to put bread on the table. Yeah, a loan, what do you, but the Rebbe said that I should go to you. Let's go to the Rebbe. Let's go to the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, what are you talking about? He says, oh, I thought, oh, okay, Mr. okay, sorry, I'm sorry, go back to the beam. Anyways, a few minutes later, this guy walks into the Rebbe with this huge lung blown up, you know, as they check for holes in the lung, they take the lung and they blow it up. It's huge, like, you know, one of those inner tubes, you know, looks like, carrying into the Rebbe. He goes, Rebbe, I have a shayla in Trefa, I don't know if this lung is kosher or not. He goes, oh, Trefa, Moshe Zichmir, he's by the bima. Ask him, he's a baki in these things. He goes, oh, great, thank you, Rebbe. He goes out, sees this guy walking towards him with this, and goes, oh, forget this. He walks straight to the Rebbe. Rebbe, what are you saying? I know you sent them to me. What are you saying? I don't even know what that shulchan arach are, shulchan this. I don't even know the first thing, how to hold a book upside down, right side up. He asked me, Shiloh's about Trefa. What? So he says, okay, I'm sorry. You go back to the bima. Finally, another guy comes in, says, Rebbe, please, emergency. He says, says, what's wrong? He says, my horse fell down outside. And I can't lift it up. And my horse is panicking and kicking and this. I can't lift it up. I need a strong man. Oh, I got the perfect man for you. Moshe Zichmir, he's at the Bima. So he goes, oh, great, thank you, Rabbi. He runs over, oh, please, my horse fell down. And he goes, horse fell down. I have two hernias. This one lifting, I can't lift a horse. What are you doing? Who told you that? He goes, the Rebbe told me. Oh, he goes back into the Rebbe. He goes, Rebbe, what's going on over here? I can't lift up a horse. I can't lift up. What are you? So the Rebbe says, okay, listen to Moshe. Achacham. You're not. You don't know first thing about income tax. You can't add. Right? A rich person, you're not. You don't have any money. You can't give loans. Right? A posek, you don't know first thing about Shulchan Aruch, Aruch HaShulchan. Right? A gibor, strong man. Yeah. Two hernias, you can't lift up anything. Right? And you need work on being a Bal Gaiva. So, that's basically the idea that we said. Right, you take, generally speaking, yeah, good, I'm a good person, overall, generally, but you take each thing and start looking and examining each thing, then you see that I'm nothing to be a Bal Gaiva about, I have a lot to work on myself, and it's a Hashem should think about this, especially in these days of Elul, we're making our Cheshbon and Nefesh. It's very nice, we are all good people and all good Jews, but we have to think, as the pasuk says, to break it up into pieces, look very carefully of all we do, and then hopefully that'll bring us to gaiva, to anava, eliminating gaiva, and then we will have a clear mind and a clear emunah in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in that schus, he should mezakeh us to bring the Mashiach Tzidkenu, imhera v'yameinu.